It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier. John, we're still down here in Clearwater. Is this our last podcast?
Last podcast in Clearwater, obviously, okay. And then we go up north. But I remember I was down at Fantasy Camp, and I guess I got my interview with J.C. Romero, right?
Yes.
And you, 2 weeks prior, were in Jamaica. And we did a short little interview. You did a short little interview with our guest.
I felt like a real reporter. Did I look like it too, Derek? I was like, you know, I was doing the old microphone. Well, you know, I was working.
You looked like you'd done this a while.
And the voice you're hearing right there is Derek Hall, who, again, Tom did a short little interview.
Yes.
But we said we needed more long-form interview
with
Derek.
Not too long. It's game day, and my man's got a job to do.
He does? And you have a job, too.
That's true. I got to wake the fanatic up.
And I've got a job. My job today is, I don't know, do you like the Dave Matthews Band?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
So the Dave Matthews Band, the saxophonist, I went and saw him last night on the grounds of Raymond James.
Yeah.
A bunch of bands play there, and I went there after the game. The saxophonist is doing the national anthem.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
from
the Dave Matthews Band. Awesome. So that's my job, is taking him around.
People performing the national anthems this spring. It's been cool to watch. Like, when we were in Atlanta, we had a young guitarist, like an electric guitar that did it, and was immaculate.
I heard about that guy.
Yeah.
Phenomenal, right? Super,
yeah, awesome.
Well, we had a sax player last week.
I don't know where he was from.
He was good.
Yeah, we've had Jeff's perform the national anthem at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really cool when you can have like various artists. So we had the lead singer Cheap Trick came down here 1 year and sang the national anthem. We've had Art Garfunkel, you know, way back when.
I tell you, Boys to Men to this day is probably the best national anthem I've ever heard. It was at Citizens Bank Park, kind of early on. It might have been the first year or two of Citizens Bank Park. Great rendition.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are you a big music guy?
Yeah, I enjoy music. I obviously like Spotify, but I really like everything. I'll listen to country, rock, hip hop, house. You know, and I use music in different ways. You know, like I like use music to unwind.
Yep.
Fire up, lock in. You know, it's like I kind of have a routine. Like for the game too,
to fire you up for a game. What will you put on?
So believe it or not, I don't. I'm more of the locked in.
Okay.
Like I like to get in the locked in space.
Yep.
The game will fire me up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like what happens in the game, big hits, right? Whether it's me or somebody else or something in the game, that to me brings out my adrenaline. But I have to center and focus before the game. That's who I am. Like, and for example, Marsh is completely different. He's firing up. He's putting fuel to the fire. He's charging up for the game. Mm-hmm. That's his energy, and that's what, you know, gets him to play well.
Yeah.
And, you know, each individual has, you know, either learned it or is wired that way. You know, and for me, when I can stay centered, kind of go mind, body, soul locked in, then I go to the game and I feel like I'm at least starting where I'm at my best to make decisions.
Well, do you have a walk-up song now?
Yeah. Last year was Pimp Juice by Nelly.
What?
Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah.
Never have we had someone talk about their walk-up song where I got to worry about, do I have to edit that in the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Which we don't. We're fine.
No.
That's Nelly. That's not Bruce Springsteen, is it? That's singing Pimp Juice.
That just reminds me of, so Tom did the music at the Vet, right? Was the DJ. And back then it was before you guys did walk-up music, right? So we would basically play, he would play whatever music he wanted to. I took over after Tom had finished. And I did it for a couple of years. Did it for the All-Star Game, which is a lot of fun. So you're basically the DJ, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And I would literally play songs that I like, and you would play songs you like.
Yeah.
So Wayne Gomes was our closer one time. right? And Wayne Gomes said, hey, John, this is how long ago it is. He said, gives me a cassette tape. He says, can you play this when I come in from the bullpen? I said, no problem, Wayne. Well, thank God I listened to it before he came out of the bullpen. If I had trusted him, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you like on the song was like, every word I can't, not the words you can't
Derek's
use.
Derek's version of Nelly's song, I'm sure, is a clean version.
Right. Yeah, that's a pretty clean song. What I like out of a walk-up song is something like rhythmic, but it's like maybe a little taste of you, something that, I like to get relaxed and have a song that I think I enjoy and people enjoy. Yep. 'Cause there's songs like an individual might enjoy,
right?
But people just get tired of,
know? Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, you don't want that either.
Well, Derek, one thing I wanted to ask you was about the World Baseball Classic. It's been really cool here, going through the clubhouse and seeing, if a game is on, how guys are, locked in. You guys are keeping track. Have you been watching the games? And what did you think of last night, the last couple nights, with the USA our players playing so well?
Oh, man, they've been playing great. And, I think this is going to be good for us because they're going to come from that environment where it's win now championship baseball. Right as soon as the season's going to start. So they're already having that. They're in that environment. And obviously they're influential in our club. So I think that's going to resonate with us too.
Yeah.
And just watching it too, it's anytime you World Baseball Classic's on, you're rooting for your country. The patriotism comes out, but also like just watching how the guys react when they do things.
Yeah. And well, in the clubhouse, obviously we have players representing different countries. Has there been a little bit of a fun back and forth, guys rooting for their team and, you're rooting for another team or.
Yeah. I think, obviously that's there. There hasn't been at least what I've seen, hasn't been a lot of talk, but I remember when I was in the minor leagues and it was the USA versus the Dominican the last time they won the championship. Oh my gosh. Right. There was some, talking going on after that.
Do we have a lot of DR guys on, was it Reading or was it Lehigh Valley?
It was in spring training.
So it's spring training.
A whole collective.
Oh yeah. Remember we had, I think it was Puerto Rico versus Dominican Republic. We had a game here.
Yes.
At Bay Care Ballpark, and it was awesome because there was bongos and drums and the cheering and just a lot of everyone had crazy outfits. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of a taste of like what winter ball is like, but in the U.S. because winter ball is similar to that, at least when I played in Mexico and the teams that are rolling, that's the environment you're playing in. It's loud. It's very fun. It's like festive, like you're hearing different music and people are fired up in a different way. And that's what you see in the classic, too.
Well, it must be fun, too, because you're seeing Garrett Stubbs, who played for Team Israel, and he's playing third base, right?
Yeah.
And he had a huge hit.
Yep.
Right? Then you're going over to seeing Alvarado coming out of the bullpen.
He almost faced Turner the other night.
Well, I think a lot of people said second guesses. He should have. Yeah. Right? Because obviously it backfired a little bit. But then to see, your teammates that you had in your clubhouse 3 weeks ago who are now having great success, whether it's JT, Schwarber, or, now Trey Turner, obviously having great – it's got to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's fun. We're pulling for all of our guys, Obviously, I want the USA to win just because I'm from the USA. But it's just fun to collectively watch the group compete because, man, I really do think we got some dynamic players that really do well in that environment. We saw it in the World Series and the playoffs, and they're doing it right now at a really early time, which is awesome.
Let's talk about last year. So last year you get called up in the middle of the summer, and Bryce goes down. You get called up. Your first game, I think you went 0-for-4, but then your next three hits were home runs.
Yeah.
Right? You went two home runs the next game.
Yeah.
So what was it like when you got called up and you're coming into the big league clubhouse? What was that? I mean, what was going through your head? Were you nervous? What did you know people? I mean, you obviously knew guys were on the team, so there's a certain comfort level.
Yeah, it was somewhat comfortable because I will say there's the level of like when you aren't viewed as a piece immediately with the team. I'm not saying there's a disconnect there, but you don't ever get as close with the guys because they kind of hang out with the guys they know, right? And it's not a bad thing. It's just human nature, right? Everybody gets along, but I knew him. So when I came up, I was obviously nervous, right? For one thing, I had like 4 hours of sleep because like trying to get the calls out of the way, pack, the fact that you're going to the big leagues, things
probably
like that.
Ticket
so
requests,
I was
right?
like, okay, yeah, tickets, in my head, I was like, okay, like first and foremost, like I got to lock it in. Like we talked about, you know, and then like the big thing was is putting the phone down, because like that day is a tremendous day, and people find out, you know, they're calling you, texting you, you know, and I just put the phone down. I tried to treat it like it was a, like that wasn't going on, you know. And then right away, I just remember walking in the clubhouse and get a warm welcome from the guys, and like I'm locker mates with Reese and Stott, and just getting comfort from them and Schwarbs. And you know, we like, it's a testament to like the guys and the coaching staff, because it's just like, you know, when you get called up, you don't know what to expect, but they put me right in the four hole, but, you know, and to me it was like there's some familiarity there. They trust me.
Respect, right?
Respect, right? And basically when I went into Topper's office, that's exactly what I felt, you know? And it was just like, hey, go play. Do your thing. You've been doing good. Just keep – don't change anything. Keep doing what you're doing. And the good thing was is the routine that I'd built in 22 was – I got pretty good at staying the course, where in the past I was jumping around. Mm-hmm. I would change too much. And every day in 22, I just tried to stay the same flow. And basically that really translated well in the big leagues, because it was like different field, different group of players, same routine, and there was some level of comfort there.
And how about getting that first home run out of the way again in the second major league game?
Yeah.
And you have another one. But what was that first home run like?
Yeah, it's funny. Like when it finally happened, it was a pitch I'd been hitting really well all year. And when I saw it, it just lit up and swung and hit it. And like I just remember – like, I think I only remembered hitting home plate, right? It was like I felt
yeah,
like
you're
I was
on,
like
on floating around,
floating,
right?
You know, but you know, I've mentioned this before, but like it takes a lot of people for you to get to the big leagues, you know, from family, the coaches, minor league, right, college, high school, and that's kind of what I felt, especially maybe not during the game because obviously I'm focused on the game, but after the game. Like, everybody that put time into you, volunteer, like, especially when you're young, even volunteer people that maybe they don't teach you the most, but they keep your love of the game up. It only takes one bad coach at the wrong time to ruin somebody, you know, and the fact that that didn't happen to me, you know, is a testament to the people that were there, and including the minor leagues, college, all the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, and, you know, I know you have baseball in the family, and you know, how important was your grandfather who played, but also not just show you baseball, but to show you life, right?
Yeah,
and,
so my,
and your uncle too, right?
Yeah, my grandfather was like my biggest father figure in my life.
Yeah.
And my uncles, his sons were studs too. Like when I was growing up, you know, they were in high school and they were scouts for coming to the house.
Yeah.
Right. Like Shane was older. He was on the cusp of getting drafted out of high school. Ladd was actually better than Shane, had better stuff, but he was younger. And I got to go see them go through this pro ball process and were very good. And I, you know, and I, when I was young, that's all I wanted to do, you know. And I remember just like growing up in the baseball family, I played Ken Griffey Jr. Slugfest on the Nintendo, playing Little League. I'd go to high school games, junior college games when they were playing junior college games. And so there was a lot of like the baseball camaraderie there.
Other sports too, or just...
Baseball always took the cake. I kind of played other sports just to, like, see what it's like. You know, like, I enjoyed playing basketball when I was young. I liked throwing the discus. And the shot put, I wasn't as good. I wasn't strong enough. But I could really fling the discus for some reason, even when I was undersized. And one year I did cross country to get out of class, and I regretted that. Man,
too much running.
That's not a fun sport.
Man, no. I hurt every day, and I think I struggle to stay awake in class. You know? So,
yeah. I was a lacrosse player, and I remember in high school we used to run. There was a track. There was like basically a path, and there was a huge open field, but it was a wooded path that went around. Yeah. But there was a huge open field. So my strategy was – because we had to run a couple miles, you know, a bunch of miles. My strategy was get in front because our coach was young, and he'd stay up with the front guys, but then he'd go back with all the laggers. we'd wait till he goes back to all the laggers, and then literally we it would be like you're sprinting across the open field, and you know it's almost like you're being exposed, but you can cut off half that time.
He
right?
cheated, Derek. John was a big cheater.
Probably why I was never a professional. Hey.
Always cutting corners.
Yeah,
Derek never cut corners.
I know
John.
that's the lesson to kids out there. Don't cut corners. Be Derek Hall. Don't be John Brady.
Well, I always joke. My wife is big on taking long walks, and you know we'll walk, and then okay, it's time to turn around. It's like yeah, and it's time to call the Uber. You know, I'm not sure. What, we got to walk all the way back now. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
They make treadmills for that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And Derek, we talked in Jamaica. My favorite part, John, of Derek's big game two of his life with the two home runs was Ashley running down on the field, and I'm not sure. I guess you didn't have any part in that, did you, John? I know. I don't know if it was Bonnie Clark or somebody made sure that Ashley was able to come down onto the field to, you know.
It was probably Bonnie, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just so great. I just remember as a fan and just thinking, oh, man, you know, this is just the coolest thing, right?
Yeah, and she'd been with me along the way, you know, like.
High school sweethearts, right?
We dated in high school. So, I mean, she saw me playing then, you know, pro ball. And like, we weren't living together in 21, but that was my toughest year, right? And she's seen that. She's seen 22, where it was like the progression, and then obviously the big leagues. So it's like she's been with me, and she rides that roller coaster emotionally too, right? It's like because she's pulling for you, you know.
Right.
Like I would say, there's three of the biggest supporters I got, right? My pop, my mom, and my wife. Because there's no strings attached, and they just are pulling for you out of pureness, right? And obviously, I would say my family in general is the same way, but I would say, like, my pop being my coach, obviously the person who put me in this world and the person I'm going to be with the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Awesome.
And family is all right there. But, you know, and so it's just what's cool is just how pure that is.
I was going to say, and, you know, being down here in Florida, and I know you guys love to fish, too. Have you gotten a chance to fish down here?
Yeah, so I've been – Abad brought his boat down.
Okay.
And so a couple of off days, me and Aramis Garcia have gone down to Walsingham and Seminole Lake.
Okay.
So I fished with Abad, Tyler Henson out at Seminole, and then me and Aramis went to Walsingham.
Had you ever fished down here before?
So the only thing that's not great this year is I don't know – we don't have a bay boat for the bay, because I enjoy – like I bass fish all in the off season, like in Arizona.
Yeah.
That's what I do. But I usually like coming down catching the reds and the snook and stuff.
Okay.
But this year we've just been sticking to the freshwater, and it's been good. Like the fishing's been solid.
What are you catching?
Largemouth.
Okay.
Yeah, like largemouth bass.
We just catch and release?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We had a good day the other day. We caught like 28, and it was all on like topwater frogs.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was like right before that. We had like a little micro storm, right? And like the wind kind of got up, and it was like right before this cold front that's been here for 2 weeks was there. So those fish were fired up. And
does Ashley go on those trips with you?
She does when she has time. Like, you know, she works, but she does love the fish, and she's actually pretty good at it. You know, I've taught her some simple tricks, and it seems like she's just good at like picking them off here and there, you know?
Have you ever been to Memphis?
I'll explain
why.
I've been through Memphis.
All right, because Tom's about to go to Memphis. Yeah. I was there in November. I went to actually down to see Ole Miss play Alabama in football, which was awesome, college football weekend. But they have one of the biggest pro bass shops. It's like a giant – it used to be a concert venue.
Oh, my.
And now it's like a pyramid, a giant pyramid, and you take an elevator all the way to the top, and it's –
those places are awesome.
They really are.
Yes.
Really cool. You don't have to be into fishing or hunting, and you love it. So
the food is great in there, too. Like, they have some of the best snacks. Like, you go in there, the candies they make, and, like, the little, like, sometimes they have a little restaurant in there, too. It's always solid.
Yeah.
I love going to Bass Pro.
Yeah. All right, so Tom and I we know nothing about baseball, but we're going to try to get a little X and O's, because I was
– we know nothing about baseball.
I'm being very self-deprecating.
Okay, that's – okay.
Right. Very self-deprecating. I've been 30 years, 35 years, whatever.
Right.
So your interview this week, you did one with the radio station, and I found it fascinating. I was really honing in on what you were saying, and you were talking about your approach that you're working with Kevin Long, and you were talking about just staying within yourself and really being kind of accountable and you know, and I guess a lot of it is staying away from pitches in the outside the strike zone, right?
Yeah.
But talk about your philosophy that you just learned or that you've been developing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so one thing I can say, and I don't know if it was from the drive of trying to make it to the big leagues and force of will, right? Because we all have it. To get to this point, you have to have force of will, which is your drive, right? To go every day and do this and want to do it. And then the will, like the will to get to the big leagues, right? What was great about last year is that one monkey hopped off my back. It was like, we got to the big leagues, right? Because my biggest fear, and anybody's biggest fear, especially is not being a prospect, no clear path to the big leagues, is being a career minor leaguer. Right. Because you put in the time, especially if you're successful in the minor leagues and you don't get a shot, it does crush you as an individual somewhat, you know, and we can go into that later. But getting to the big leagues gave me a lot of confidence, like, as a hitter, because it's like, man, I not only did I get there, I've been able to do it, right? And so I've learned, obviously, and we play an imperfect game with imperfect science, but when you have confidence, right, at the plate, you do see the ball for what it is. But when you have a little bit of anxiety or too much, like, I'm going to will it, it seems like you don't see it for what it is, right? Like, the ball, you might swing at balls more, or you're trying to do too much, right? Where we all know when that ball, when there's a good ball to hit, it lights up for you, right? And you're ready for it, and you hit it. And that's been happening for me more, where it's like, I don't feel like I've got to do as much,
right?
Either in my mind or with my body.
I'm just letting it come to you.
Yeah, like, I'm just trying to prepare, like, anticipate the ball is going to be quick, have an idea where I want it, but, like, let the ball do the talking. Like, I want, you know what I mean? And sometimes the ball fool you, and sometimes it gets by you. But, like, what I've learned is that flow, like, is what really good hitters have. That's why really good hitters look like they're not fooled, or even if they do get fooled, they reset really quick because they're flowing with it. They're not mentally
pressing,
forcing it.
Right.
And, you know, forcing it can look like pressing, and forcing are slightly different. Pressing's like, you'll see it every single pitch. Forcing could be, it could happen one pitch and change the whole outcome, right? You could, like, be flowing for two, force one, right? And then, like, that can bring out something too, like maybe not the outcome that you'd want or should have gotten. But, like, it's kind of, I think, maybe a maturity thing. Maybe it's just like, I've done it so many times in so many years now where it's like, I understand what a cutter is, what a slider is, how to time those, a fastball, you know, and it's just trying to, maybe it's me starting to take the next step of, like, we're beyond worrying about the swing and all this. We're just now trying to make.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good swings on good balls.
And Derek, do you feel, you know, a lot of information is coming to you now with, you know, analytics and just all the information at your disposal? Do you feel like you're more of a C ball, hit ball kind of guy, or do you know how to use that information?
Yeah, it definitely is useful, right? So what I do, not so much in spring training, but I always look at the sheet, and I believe that if, let's just say, a pitcher throws 95 and his slowest pitch is 85, that 10-mile-an-hour mark, that means if I look for a fastball in the zone, I can hit a hanger within 10 miles an hour if it's in the zone. Right. Obviously, the little bit higher, the better, because the higher the ball is, you don't have to wait as long for it. Right. When the ball is down, it looks slower and you got to move. So to me, I've understood it's like, OK, I'm ready for 95. But I'm going to try and recognize a hanger and let it hit my bat. Don't try to do anything with it. Just know that spacing is fine. Like, if I hit the fastball here, I have some distance out front to still square that ball up. Mm. Now, like, say I read on the sheet that a guy, I think it was Rich Hill the other day, throws 88 and he throws 71 mile an hour curveball. You can't hit that all in one timing. You've got to be smart, right, to, like, selective on which speed you think he's going to come at you with. So just the information allows for you to have an educated plan on, but that comes from a personal level too, because everybody's different.
Right.
Right. Like, to me, I think if every single pitch is hard, I can get on one timing, and the only thing that you're battling is being on time and swing at the right pitch because it's coming quick.
Right.
Then you're battling something completely different when a guy throws 88 with, like, 70-mile-an-hour breaking ball. You know, you're like, okay, well, everything's up and everything looks like a strike, but one's super slow, you miss it by feet, and then the fastball zips on you because you just saw something at 70, you know. Mm-hmm.
Our job's much easier.
I'm glad we don't have to be in there facing that. So, you know.
You know what? There's some freedom in that, though. And that's the thing I'm learning. Like, I think in the past it'd give me a lot of anxiety. But, you know, we play an imperfect game. So, if you try to be perfect all the time, it does stress you out. But just know, like, there is some room for error on both sides of the ball. Yeah. They get away with balls down the middle. And, you know, sometimes we chase a bad pitch. But, like, they're grinding as hard as we are. So, it's like our job is just try to put a good swing on it and let our – skills take over, you know.
All right, before we get to the quiz, we got to talk about just real quick. How exciting was that? I mean, obviously, you guys get into the playoffs. You beat the Cardinals, where you know it looked like we were down that first game. And then we make that great comeback, and then you're on to the Braves. And that talk about that first home game, the crowd, the energy throughout the whole playoffs in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah, and there's definitely beef with the Braves. You know what I mean? I think they thought they were going to roll in there and just park us, you know? And I think the environment that the fans created played such an advantage for us because they were not comfortable. Because the Braves play like a relaxed style of baseball. Like they try to get in their own zone and the fans did not let that happen. Mm. They sped those guys up. You could tell like the anxiety. I remember when Strider was out there, he didn't look like himself. You know, like some of their best hitters didn't look like themselves, and that was just because of the passion of the city and the fans. Right?
I'm telling you, when Reese hit that, I don't know how loud it was in the dugout. I'm sure it was very loud. But in the stands, again, being with the Phillies for a long time, I have never heard a ballpark that loud when Reese hit that home run. I mean, it was shaking, right? Yeah. I'm sure you felt the same thing in the dugout.
I think I had hearing damage by after the month. My ears rung.
Right.
It was freaking awesome.
I could see that happening.
And then Bryce Harper's home run, I was with my 15-year-old daughter, and we were jumping up and down. I felt like I was a 10-year-old kid. We're jumping up and down, jumping up. And it's a moment that I think people throughout the Delaware Valley, I'm sure there's a lot of fathers, sons, husband, wives, whatever, you know, that just bonded through that whole playoff run that – and people are so excited this year, and I'm sure.
And that's the beauty of sports, right? It's like when you do it right, it bonds people together, like cities, like people of all beliefs, whatever. It's like if that goes out the door, and it's about watching your people win games.
Yep.
And that's the beauty of sports, right? And it's like it's been like that from the dawn of time in the Coliseum.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly right.
To whatever arena it's been, you know, and
wasn't good for the guy facing the lion, but it was good for all the fans.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We brought the people together.
Yes. All right, John, I see you got the quiz out. We got to get Derek back in the clubhouse.
Yep.
So let's rock the Derek Hall quiz.
We have an 8-question quiz, multiple choice. It's about your life, so you should have an inside track, obviously.
All right.
We'd love to do this all the time. Tom, what does he win?
What does he win? There's hot dogs and hamburgers right around the corner. A free hot dog or a hamburger.
Yeah, it's not coming from you, though.
I'll tell you what, I've been waiting for the Fanatic to shoot a hot dog at me for like 5 years.
All right. How about that one?
The Fanatic almost hit Griff McGarry the other day. I think just missed him, I think.
Don't hit a UVA guy. That's my guy, right? all right, sounds good. So you have to get six out of eight, right? And what? So I think then the Fanatic has a direction, you know, point the Fanatic. His dream is to get a hot dog from the Fanatic.
Fair enough. I'll talk to the Fanatic about that.
I could shoot one and I can hit it. That'd be something.
Oh, I like that.
All right, we set that up and we'll film it. We'll film it.
Back. That's a commercial
there. Yes, we'll film that. All right.
There you go.
That might be something.
All right. Well, then we're all rooting.
Three strikes with hot dogs.
We are all rooting for you right now.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, you went to Buena High School in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Which of these celebs did not go to that high school? Okay, I'm going to mention three people that were celebrities, but it's a loose term, right? And one person was not, or is a celebrity, but did not go to the high school. Okay, you got the concept? Okay, A, Don Fry, wrestler, professional mixed martial artist. Tommy Lasorda, former Dodgers manager. Donnie Veal, former Major League Baseball player. Lawrence Gibson, former offensive tackle in the NFL.
Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda, because he's from Norristown.
He's from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Yes. All right, you attended Coach Ice? Is that
Cochise.
Cochise. I knew I was going to.
Yeah, Cochise.
I've got to say something that's. Brandon's going to bust on me. All right, you went to Cochise?
Yep,
Cochise College in Arizona. Which celebrity did not go to Cochise College? Magician David Blaine, Kevin Kuzminoff, David Lundquist, assistant pitching coach for the Phillies. Chad Curtis, former Major League Baseball player.
Hey.
David Blaine. David Blaine. All right.
Didn't even go to
two for two.
Grade school. I think that guy's been doing magic on the street since he was six.
Yeah. Well,
we don't have very many magicians out there. I tell you, that.
You couldn't major at in magic at no. Cochise.
Well, he went Cochise. You fly planes or hit baseballs, so and that's about it.
Well, David Blaine did go to Mexico, and he said uno dos, and then he just appeared without a trace.
So. Oh, but we should just end
that's
this
my
podcast
bad
now.
All right. You also attended Dallas Baptist University. Which celebrity did not go to Dallas Baptist? Ben Zobrist, Len Lancaster, Ryan Goins, Matt Strom.
Matt Strom.
Matt Strom. Knows
yeah.
His,
he's
knows
three for three.
Teammate.
Dark's on
Look
a roll.
Look at that. All right. In the summer of 2014, you played for the Keene Swamp Bats in Keene, New Hampshire, right? Mm-hmm. Which one of these guys is not a teammate? Okay. Did you remember your teammates back then?
Yeah.
All right. Bats. So here we got. We got Roe Coleman, Matt Blandino, Michael Roach, and Zach Loricella. So it's Roe Coleman, Matt Blandino, Michael Roach, Zach Loricella.
Michael Roach.
Michael Roach, who works with
traveling secretary.
With Jameson Hall.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I heard that. Right. Was like that.
Did I hear that right?
Sound right.
Yeah. You're on a roll. Four for four.
Four
all
for
right.
four.
And in 2016, your first team was the Williamsport Crosscutters, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who was not a teammate? Okay. Bailey Falter, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Ranger Suarez, Scott Kingery.
Scott Kingery.
Scott Kingery, because yeah. He was in Double A. Mm-hmm. He was at the Reading Phillies. All right. Yep. He's on a roll, Tom.
He's 5 for 5.
That hot dog is one answer away from swatting a hot dog, yeah. From getting hammered. And it is going to get hammered.
It is.
Okay. In your second home run, or second game, we talked about this, you hit two home runs against the Braves, right? Mm-hmm. Who did you hit? I always curious about this, whether the guys know. Like
he'll know.
I know. Who did you hit the second home run off of? Do you even need a multiple choice? I'll give you
Mike
the
Ford.
Mike Ford, right. Because yeah. I was going to say Jackson Stevens, Darren O'Day, Jesus Cruz, or Mike Ford.
There it is.
He's going to be swatting hot dogs at Citizens Bank Park. All right, this is just an extra bonus. You can go 8 for 8 if you want, because there's only like one or two that have been in that stratosphere.
Only a handful.
All right, you went on a Phillies vacation, right, in Montego Bay, Jamaica. What are the three colors that make up the Jamaican flag? All right, is it black, orange, and yellow, red, blue, and yellow, black, green, and gold, purple, green, and orange?
C
is correct. Black, green, and gold. Tom, would you have gotten that?
Yes.
Because your cultural literacy is not perfect.
It's not perfect, but, you know, Derek and I were hanging in Jamaica, and I remember
all
the flag.
Right. 7 for 7. Now, this is the last one.
Okay.
Which of these is a false statement about Tom Burgoyne? Okay, 3 are true, one is false.
All right.
Okay, which is a false statement?
This is going to be about Derek's life, not my life.
Well, he knew you. He
You're
bonded with you. You're going to dinner with him tonight, right?
Go ahead.
Okay. A, he once ran with the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain. B, his favorite musician is Jackson Brown. C, he's never lived more than 90 miles from Philadelphia. D, he was his high school mascot. So what is not true? Again, he ran with the Bulls in Pamplona. His favorite musician is Jackson Brown. He's never lived more than 90 miles from Philadelphia, and he was his high school mascot.
I'm going B.
No, Jackson Brown.
Jackson
is my
man.
He's actually.
I never ran with the Bulls, though. I
never ran with the Bulls.
Someday.
I gave you that aggressive one. I was like, he had to.
I'm stupid enough. That's true. To run with the Bulls.
Would the Fanatic ever run with the Bulls?
That would be great. He'd ride one of those Bulls.
Uh-huh. That's right.
All right. Is that it, Johnny? We got to get Derek back. Derek, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And,
thanks for having me.
Yep. And we're going to see you this year. Can't wait to, you know, get this thing started.
Oh, yeah.
Really appreciate it, Derek. Yeah,
thanks again, Derek. Thank you. And we'll be back right after this.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story. And one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
And we're back. Philly's backstage. Do we love Derek Hall or what, John?
What a nice guy. I know you spent time with him in Jamaica, yeah. Right? I met him last year, briefly. And everything, he lived up to the billing that you created.
Yeah.
Right,
he's
there.
Great. And you know, he gets a hit, and he just always has a smile on his face. It just seems like he's enjoying himself up here. And listen, there's some pressure because, of course, we didn't really bring it up, you know, because I don't want to spook them because, man, it's been such a great competition for these last couple spots on the bench.
Right, and we're filming this with a week and a half left in spring training. So,
So
everything's, you know, I'm not sure when you're going to hear this, but he's in a battle right now. And I tell you what, though, when Bryce went down, we needed – the power that he brought.
Yeah.
He was a valuable, very valuable contributor. And so far in spring training, just...
Yeah, he's lighting it up.
And he's hitting lefties, too.
Yeah. To have that kind of power, though, too, John. I mean, I know the Philly, you know, Dombrowski and Topper, you know, they value the, you know, flexibility, you know, some of these other players can give you, and they can play the outfield, they can play the infield. But, man, there's no substitution for having a guy on the bench who can just come up and pop
right.
one at any time.
Put the fear, yes, in the pitchers. So,
and he's hitting better, too. You know, he's going off fields. He's been working with Long. And
Kevin Long's a genius, right?
Yeah,
goodness. He's helped recruit guys, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Schwarber and Harper and other guys came here.
Trey Turner.
Right, Trey Turner.
I think it's one of the big reasons he came here.
Yep. So, all right, so let me ask you a question. The Fanatic... What is the Fanatic that we haven't talked in a while?
Wow.
How's the Fanatic spring training been?
He's having a great time. He's trying to still figure out. I think the last time we talked, the wind has been an issue with the hot dog launcher, but he's starting to figure it out. He had to reprimand a couple of guys who were wrapping the hot dogs. You know, it was operator error on a couple games where the hot dogs weren't quite getting. There's a video clip, John. I don't know if you saw it, but it was on Twitter, and it's like the hot dog just barely makes it out of the hot dog launcher itself and just drops right there, you know, by the driver. And, you know, heads rolled, John. The Fanatic,
sure.
You know, he expects perfection.
He has certain standards.
Exactly right. Yeah.
The Fanatic today, Dave Matthews, saxophonist, who's waiting for me out in the parking lot.
Yeah,
he's been waiting
for
me for a while. He got here a little early. But he's doing the national anthem on the saxophone. Is the Fanatic excited for that?
Love that. You know, Fanatic goes back a ways. He remembers Grover Washington Jr. at the Sixers games playing the sax and doing the national anthem that way. Fanatic loves a variation like that. So, and he's a big Dave Matthews fan, too. So it'll be great.
Well, last night we had a game on Sunday, and it's called the Innings Festival, and it's put on by a bunch of baseball players, Jake Peavy and Bronson Arroyo and a bunch of the guys.
Where is that exactly?
It was at Raymond James Stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play, and in the parking lot, which is basically a big grass field and some concrete, and they set up two big stages, and it was a two-day festival, and I know Third Eye Blind played the day before along with some other bands. And then last night, we had the game, and then I did a post-game radio show on WBCB. Chris Wheeler was my co-host. And then right after that, I scrambled out there. I met Todd Callis, Harry Callis' son, former Phillies announcer, current Houston Astros broadcaster, and his wife. He still has a place out here. So he came out here more on he had a couple days off away from Houston. We all went to the show, and it was Dave Matthews Band was the headliner. Avett Brothers, who we've had at the ballpark many times, love those guys. Bob Crawford, good buddy of mine, the bassist. And then Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
And then a band from the New Orleans called the Revivalists, who are great. So
yeah, they're one of your favorite bands.
It was just
you
perfect.
Were loving life.
I was loving life. So now again, we've got Jeff Coffin from the Dave Matthews Band doing the national anthem today.
Well, and you have your lovely wife Jill is coming in with Charlotte, your daughter.
Yeah.
So your bachelor life is coming to a halt.
It's not a very exciting bachelor life other than concert, right?
Yeah, you've been getting around.
Yep. I went to Flyers game, concert, so yes.
Yeah, you're loving life. Well, John, this is probably going to be our last broadcast down here in spring training. We've said it before. if you ever get a chance to come down to spring training, you got to do it. It's such a great area, Clearwater area. You go to baseball games, you go to the beach, you go to the restaurants. It's great. Now March Madness is happening, so, you know, even if you go, the sports bars, everybody's packed, and, you know, you got baseball and March Madness. It's just been a great spring down here. The weather's been great. The team looks good, John. So, yeah, bring on the opener.
Bring it on.
April 6th.
Very excited. It's going to be a great year. I know our season ticket sales are up, and we've got a cool surprise for opening day, which I'm not sure when this will air, but maybe the surprise will already be done. But it's going to be cool. This is going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to an unbelievable. We're going to capture what we did last year towards the tail end. We're going to have
it. Keep it going. John, we're going to keep it going. I like it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Phillies Backstage, and we will see you next time on Phillies Backstage. Backstage, we're going to play.